What's up, soccer fans? Mike Guglielmi back at you for another MLS Weekly Recap. We include CCL, the two semifinal games as well. In this episode, going to touch on a couple things as well, and we'll be right into it right after the intro. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button as well, as we're new, and let's get rolling. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? I am back from a very nice vacation, although the traveling getting there was absolutely insane. What a day that was, but a great, relaxing vacation. And with that being said, I'm going to have to be honest with you guys. I didn't get to watch as much footy as I wanted to. I was too busy. We were down on the beach. We were celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday to Katie Schultz. Appreciate you guys having a great big party down there in Florida, and didn't get a chance to watch all of the games that I wanted to watch, but I did get to run through a little bit of it, starting out with the CCL. Of course, I was going to do the Wednesday night live there. Unfortunately, was just too busy getting packed up and ready to go down there. Now, let me tell you guys, this traveling, oh my God, what a nightmare. Canceled flight after canceled flight. We left our house at 10 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, expecting to get there around 3:30, 4 o'clock Eastern time, and we'd be ready to party and relax. Well, they decided to delay our flight until 6 o'clock from 1 o'clock. Then, while we were sitting there waiting for those 5 hours to pass, they delayed it again to 8 o'clock. Then there was another flight out to Fort Myers, where I'm from, and they ended up moving us on to the Fort Myers flight. So we had a rental car in Tampa, but they didn't have an office in Fort Myers. So we had to cancel the rental car. We get down to Fort Myers, it's 11:30 at night, we pick up the rental car, and oh wait, our bag is in Tampa. It's not in Fort Myers. So it was a complete nightmare. Allison and I get in the rental car, it's midnight, we head up to the Tampa International Airport. We pull in there around 2 in the morning, get the bag, head down to Bradenton Beach, and we were hanging. We finally get to our room around 3:30 in the morning, and finally got to bed around 5 to 6 o'clock. It was absolute insanity, but you didn't come here to listen to my trials and tribulations of traveling, although it was a hell of a story I had to share with you guys. But hey, let's get right into the game. Starting out on Tuesday night, Pumas and Cruz Azul in the CCL semi-final, the All-Liga MX leg. This one, it's a 2-1 victory for Pumas. A very important away goal scored by Cruz Azul by Tabo in the 83rd minute. I only watched about 15 minutes of this game, and that was from like the 30-minute mark up to halftime. And I saw both goals for Pumas. I thought they were going to run away with this match, but they didn't. They didn't run away with it. Cruz Azul still in it for the second leg back at the Azteca. We'll see how that game goes. But man, what a good matchup there between Pumas and Cruz Azul. Pumas with the upper leg, but Cruz Azul's right there in it, only down by one goal. Now, for the one that we care about the most, Seattle, New York City. This was a crazy game. Seattle with a 3-1 victory over NYCFC. Goals from Rusnak, Morris, and Nico Ladero. The Sounders, 3-1 victory over New York City in Seattle in the first leg. NYCFC does get the away goal from Andrade, but I don't know if that's going to be enough, especially given that New York City is going to be playing at Red Bull Arena in the midweek next week. Not as bad as it could have been, though. They did get that away goal, which is very important. So if they do win 2-0 at Red Bull Arena, New York City that being, then they do move on into the next round of the CCL, the championship, the final round of CCL. But that's going to be a very tall task for an NYCFC team who has struggled in MLS play so far. They've held their own in CCL, but in this one, didn't quite hold their own in the MLS matchup. They did well against the Central American opponents, not so much against the MLS opponents. So as far as lineups in this one, it was a full-strength squad from both sides. Great lineup from Seattle. the only thing there, Reagan in center back position. But, I mean, Ruznak, Joe Paulo, Jordan Morris, Christian Roldan, Nico Ladero in the midfield with Rui Diaz up top. That's hard to beat. That is going to be hard to beat for any team in CCL or in MLS play. That's how damn good that lineup is. Now, New York City, on the other hand, they played a full-strength lineup against Toronto FC last week. They end up going with a full-strength lineup again in the midweek in CCL action. The back line, exactly the same. Midfield, Morales and Parks is the two defensive mid-spots. Santi Rodriguez, Talis Manuel, and Thiago Andrade with Tati Castellanos up top. I expect to see full-strength lineups from both sides coming into the midweek on Wednesday night in Red Bull Arena. It's going to be a good one. Here are the stats as well for this game. The possession slightly to Seattle. This wasn't a complete blowout, although the scoreline does make it look that way. 55% possession to 45% possession. 12 shots to 9. 6 on goal to 5. Fairly even game. The corner 7-0 for Seattle. That was a big difference in this one. But overall, a pretty even game. New York City's not out of it. Is it the result they wanted on the road? Absolutely not. Are they dead and buried? No, not they're not either. So they've still got a chance at Red Bull Arena. So it's going to be a good matchup. I know that New York City's going to be rolling. They're going to try and move on to the championship in this one. Now, speaking of that game, we'll be live right here on Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. New York City, Seattle Sounders coming at you live on YouTube. Make sure you're with us, guys. If you're not subscribed already, hit that little bell. Turn it on so you don't miss it when we go live. Plan is to go live on Wednesday night for New York City and Seattle Sounders this week. I predicted Cruz Azul against Seattle in the final. There's a good possibility of that happening here after the first legs. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But overall, going to be an exciting game. Can't wait to do that one. Now, let's move on to the MLS play. First game up, Chicago visiting Orlando City. A 1-0 victory for Orlando City. A red card to Gutierrez in the 43rd. Carat with the goal in the 59th minute. And Orlando does what they have to do to get the job done at home against a struggling Chicago side without two of their best players. So Chicago was out Sijos and Shaqiri. I think that was where the main reason why I picked Orlando in this matchup. And it was a correct pick at that. But the Fire, no love lost. They're still doing well in the season, and I'll let John Donovan take away the rest of that recap there on the podcast side. So a little bit of an early ad break in this matchup, because we always like to take the ad breaks for the podcast side and let John do his recap with the Fire game. So if you haven't downloaded that podcast yet, guys, find it. If you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. If you're on any other podcatcher, make sure you're subscribed and automatic downloads. That helps us immensely. All right, guys. Here we go into break. We'll recap the rest of all the action when we get back. This MLS Weekly Recap is sponsored by Skira, Icelandic spring water, available at your local 7-Eleven. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, yes, pun intended, it's one of the best. Get some Skira today at your local 7-Eleven. And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Mike, John Donovan here, talking about the Chicago Fire and the MLS. Not a great game, Mike. We lost 1-0 against Orlando, and it should have been more. The team came out, I would say, unprepared. Ezra did make some substitutions, which a couple make me wonder. He put in Bornstein for Herbers, Gutierrez in for Shakira, who I would assume is out with a leg injury, and Bornstein in for Herbers. And the team did not seem its own. What I have admired, Mike, the first couple of games with a controlled team, a controlled coach, good substituting, it was not so against Orlando. Orlando was a better team, a better coach squad. They didn't lose their cool coach on big plays, very calm, cool, and collected. The Fire went down to 10 guys. Gutierrez, of all the people, I've been promoting him all year. Brian Gutierrez made a real stupid infraction in a direct kick where he got a yellow card early in the game. And with 40 minutes into the game, he jumps on a guy's back. I know that Ezra was very upset about it. In fact, he did something that is just not allowable in the league. He made efforts. He was going after the ref at halftime. Klopas and Brown, Coach Brown, had to pull him away from the referee. Very, very untimely time to do that. Teams pick up that kind of attitude. I just have never enjoyed that discussion and problems like that during the game. So Ezra, come on, you got to get yourself under control. The game, the player of the game for the Chicago Fire was Slonina. I mean, he made some incredible saves. I don't know whether he's going to be here the full year. I mean, those premiership teams have been talking, and after watching this Orlando team against them and his some of his saves, the guy is a stud. There's no doubt about it. About 20 minutes to go in the game, Ezra started making substitutions. And the ones that I thought were interesting, I was really anxious to see some activity from this guy. We heard all last year about Duran, how he was the player that was going to really, it was an 18-year-older that was going to come up here. Well, he did nothing. They pulled Cibilko back to right midfielder and put Duran up top. They put AJ Reynolds in, and I was hoping that against hope that he would show some success. But the kid just doesn't have the speed to play in this league. I mean, he made a couple of decent passes, but these quick MLS players, he can't keep up with the speed of them. So I hope and pray that Shakira gets back quickly, that this young man Torres comes in from Mexico. Ivanov played all right. And the one guy, I mean, we had one DP out on the field, Jimenez, and I didn't hear his name mentioned during the game. So, it was not a good game for the team. Obviously, Gutierrez really goofed up. He's going to be suspended next week. I wouldn't be surprised, Mike, to see the league walk out and suspend Ezra for a game either. You just can't have coaches going after referees and why the game is still going on. It's not a good move. So they got a big team coming in next week, LA Galaxy. I would imagine because of some of the players, the Mexican stars on the squad, that we're going to get a good crowd at Soldier Field. I hope Shakira is back. I really hope he's back. And that Ezra puts Navarro back and Herber's back and goes with the team that was winning for him, or at least tying for him. This was not a good performance, and one that from the get-go, I mean, at halftime, the Orlando squad had possession at 55% against 45%. So even with Gutierrez on the field, it was not a well-played game. Orlando dominated the play. It should have been a higher score if it wasn't for Slonina. So, Mike, hopefully next week we get a win. I will check back with you next week. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that Chicago Fire update, John. We'll talk to you next week. All right, so good win there for Orlando over Chicago, but Chicago's not going anywhere. Next up, Inter Miami and New England Revolution. My goodness, Inter Miami finally gets on the board, gets a victory over the Revs. They are struggling right now. This team looked okay in the beginning of the season. They looked okay with that bye through CCL, and then after that first leg against Pumas, you're thinking, all right, maybe the Revs are going to be really good this year. Slow it down. They're a hot mess right now. Complete hot mess. They lose to the worst side in MLS, I would say, right now, right there with Cincinnati. Albeit Inter Miami has played against Cincinnati. But Cincinnati, God, they're the wooden spoon, three-time wooden spoon. I want to say they're the worst, but man, Miami just keeps on keeping on. If this wasn't for a Campagna hat trick, it's going to be another loss. Miami at home beats New England. Gonzalo Higuain, he's going to retire. You know, Gonzalo Higuain's out of the lineup. He doesn't play in this one, and just looks on from the stands. And this is there was a good photo of him and like a meme on Twitter that said, you know, this is a guy. Here's a picture of a guy who realizes that the game has passed him by. And that is just 100% accurate for Gonzalo Higuain. A horrible signing for Inter Miami. Horrible signing. We called it when it happened. But Miami can savor the 3 points that they got over New England. New England, they got to figure their life out, man. They can't be playing. They can't be playing Omar Gonzalez and Jozy Altidor. Those two guys are done. They're past their prime. They are good as a depth piece, and that is it. That's it. They can't be relying on those guys every single week. Now, neither one of them started in this matchup going up against Miami, probably because they're thinking, you know, oh, it's Inter Miami. They suck. We'll be fine. But they got some work to do there in New England. And Carlos Hill doesn't look like he's the same player as he was even last season as MVP. Not looking the same there. But good win for Miami. They get on the board. They're up to 4 points from the one, so a good result for them. Next up, Montreal and New York Red Bulls. The Red Bulls at Red Bull Arena. A very tough team to beat. I picked the Red Bulls to get the victory. I was dead wrong. 2-1 victory for Montreal. One goal by New York. Fernandez. Omer Fernandez in the 14th minute. They were cruising right along. You figure, all right, this is it. New York's going to just handle their business. They're going to get the W. Wrong. Montreal comes back. Rudy Camacho in the 71st and Romel Kyoto in the 81st minute. And Montreal claws their way back to pick up 3 points on the road against an Eastern Conference rival. A very good performance there by Montreal to be able to move on and move upwards through the standings. Now, looking at the stats here, possession dead even, 50.2 for Montreal, 49.8 for the Red Bulls. Total shots, 15 to 10 Red Bulls. Shots on goal, 5-4. Very, very even game. It's just how the luck fell and the goals, the finishing was there from Montreal. A little bit better than from the Red Bulls, and Montreal, good victory for them. Next up, Philadelphia and Columbus. Philly, 1-0 victory over the Columbus Crew. Goal from an own goal, actually, by Columbus keeper Eloy Room. And that's the only scoring that there was in this one. Philly, 16 points at the top of the table. What is going on here? But, man, they just keep on rolling through. The lineups were good. The lineup was good there from Philly. The lineup was good from Columbus. Pretty much the strongest lineup you're going to get out of both sides. And Philly, as even though they're at the top of the table with 16 points, your next closest is 13 in the Western Conference, I'm not sold on them yet. I'm not 100% sold on them. They are getting the results. They are doing okay. But I'm just not sold on the Philadelphia Union just yet. Just yet. Now, Columbus, hopefully they can, you know, they can pick things up and regain their form from 2020 when they won MLS Cup. So I think that's still a long ways off. I don't think this team is as good as that team. I think they've got some work to do there. But overall, I think Columbus can compete for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Next up, El Tráfico. LA Galaxy, 2-1 victory over LAFC. Man, what a game this was. I watched a few minutes of it towards the end. I saw the goal that got called offside by VAR and reversed. Two goals for LA. Chicharito in the 13th minute. Koulibaly in the 31st. And then Christian Arango with the goal in the 79th minute for LAFC. LAFC played all right on the road. They played a decent game. They almost came away with a point in El Tráfico. I predicted that draw. I thought for sure this was going to be a game of a draw. And unfortunately, I was wrong. But it was so close. Oh, so close. Now, looking at the VAR, okay, to me, it should have counted at first glance, at first watch. Even after the game, I'm thinking that goal should have counted. Now, seeing the pro referee's explanation and the audio from the VAR call when Pencil was at the headset, by rule, they did get the call correct. And this is the line. Right down at the bottom, you'll see a save by a defender is not a deliberate play for offside purposes. So that is where Mbappe fall was offside when the ball was in his possession, the last LAFC possession, Latif Blessing was in an offside position. The deflection, which is called a save by a defender because the goalkeeper was out of position, is why the goal stands. Now, should that rule be changed? I think if it touches a defender, whether it's a deflection, a save, a anything, if it touches a defender, that ball is now live for offside purposes. I'd prefer to see it that way, but that's not the way the rules are. So technically, they did get the call correct. It was offside by the letter of the law, and that gives the LA Galaxy a 2-1 victory over LAFC. Now, these teams, these are going to be two teams. We're not going to have a repeat of last year where we had no California teams in the playoffs. And San Jose, I don't think they're getting in, but I think both of LAFC and LA Galaxy are going to make the playoffs this season. Raheem Edwards continues to play well for the Galaxy. They've got Revelison, Leardom, Grandsier. They had Efrain Alvarez up in that winger position. Victor Vasquez, Chicharito is scoring goals. This team is solid. Now, will Chicharito keep scoring goals? That's the key for LA Galaxy. He has to continue to score at a rate of about a goal every other game at minimum in order for this team to be successful to make a run at MLS Cup. Now, LAFC, it's on the road. They almost got a point out of it. It's not as bad of a result for LAFC as some are making it because they did lose to their in-city rival, right? So you look at Hollingshead, Murillo, Fall, Palacios at the back, Max Crepeau in goal, Cifuentes, Ilya Sanchez, Kellen Acosta in the midfield, played real well. Opoku, Vela, and Brian Rodriguez. It's a strong, strong up front three. LAFC is in good hands. They're not going anywhere. They're going to be up there challenging for one of the top spots in the Western Conference once all is said and done. Galaxy, congratulations. Three well-deserved points. You got real damn lucky at the end, but that's not what matters. What matters is LA Galaxy's got 3 points in the bag after this matchup. Next up, RSL, TFC. This was a heck of a game. This was one of the games I did watch. I mentioned, you know, earlier in the episode, I didn't get to watch a ton of the games, you know, because I was busy sitting on the beach with a cocktail and I couldn't see my phone. The sun was so bright. So, you know, didn't get a lot of into these games this week. So that's why this episode is going to be a little bit shorter than normal. But RSL Toronto, I did watch this one. TFC comes back and ties this game up, earns a point at RSL. 2-2 draw. A good result for TFC. They continue to get good results. A draw on the road, 3 points at home. That is a recipe for success. And again, with TFC, they just got to hang around that line once Insigne comes over and possible other signings as well. Follow Eric Giacometti on Twitter, and he put up on his personal Twitter some type of picture with Fabrizio Romano saying, "We're cooking something up in the laboratory here with Fabrizio." And then they were him, the All for One cameras, etc. staff members were at the Napoli game over the weekend for Serie A. Who are they scouting? Who are they working at? They're in Italy. They're putting together some promotional videos. So a signing is coming for TFC. Is it Dries Mertens? There was some talk of him coming over. Is it Belotti? Is it another player? We don't know. There were no details on that. It's been pretty hush-hush about it. But overall, there's going to be another signing coming for Toronto FC outside of Insigne. So if they can stay by that playoff line, this team's going to be damn good, especially with how well these young kids have been playing. Speaking of the young kids, Kosi Thompson with an absolute unbelievable shot. Unreal volley, one-time shot with a ball hitting side netting. Beautiful goal. Check out the replay if you didn't see it. Kosi Thompson, man, he's playing well since he got his debut with Toronto FC just a few weeks ago. And then Jaden Nelson in the 79th minute ties it up. It was 2-1 at that point. And Jaden Nelson steals the ball from Demir Krylak, sees the goalkeeper's out of position. He's like 35 yards out. He blasts it at the net and right over the goalkeeper and into the back of the net to tie it up for TFC. It bodes real well. If Toronto FC is getting points on the road against, right now, the number two team in the Western Conference in RSL, and they're getting contributions from Kosi Thompson and Jaden Nelson, that's a good sign for Toronto FC fans. Now, RSL, on the other hand, probably want more out of this match. RSL has been playing well lately. They're number two in the West. They're going to want to get those full 3 points at home, but I'm happy as a TFC fan that they were able to get the victory there, or not the victory, get the draw and earn that point on the road. Looking at the lineups in this one, you want to talk about a youth movement here for TFC? Serious youth movement going on here with Toronto FC. Luca Petrasso has looked like a stud. Didn't really show out in this game like we thought he would. But, then you got Jacob Schaffelberg. You got Kosi Thompson. Jaden Nelson coming in off the bench. Obviously, you got a couple players who didn't see much action. And you got one that's hurting, Jaquiel Marshall-Ruddy. But there's so much talent on this Toronto team, especially the younger players. Now, the only concern that I have as a TFC fan is there's something going on. There's something going on with Chris Mavinga and Bob Bradley. I don't know what it is. There's some kind of beef going on or something, because I believe Mavinga is fully healthy. And he's being left off with Lucas McNaughton, Carlos Salcedo, and Shane O'Neill as the back three in this 3-4-2-1 formation that Bradley's been using over the past few games. Now, it's going to be interesting. Carlos Salcedo gets a red in the 86th minute for Toronto FC, so I think it's going to kind of force the hand and get Mavinga back into the game. So I don't know what's going to happen here. It'll be interesting to see what happens next week for TFC against Philadelphia Union. And guess what, guys? That will be live for that one as well. TFC against Philadelphia Union coming up next Saturday. Can't wait for that one. The Union, top of the league, head to BMO Field. Be interesting to see if Toronto can pull out another good victory at home like they did against New York City just last, well, not a week and a half ago. So make sure you're with us for that one as well. All right, moving along down the list, let's get to the next game. Dallas, Colorado. Dallas, 3-1 victory over the Rapids. Dallas is looking good. Jesus Ferreira is looking good. 2 goals for Ferreira. Brandon Cervania right before the half. And Diego Rubio, the goal scorer for the Rapids. Man, Dallas is doing well this year. They give them some more time, too. They're gonna need a little bit more time to get fit there and get used to all these new players playing together. But overall, it's gonna be very, very interesting to see what happens with Dallas at the end of the season. So definitely excited about that. All right, looking at the next game, Houston and San Jose, a 4-3 victory for Houston over the Quakes. Man, the Quakes, God, they need some love, man. How has Matias Almeida not been canned yet, or how has he not resigned yet? That's what I just don't know. Houston, I expected them to get this victory in Houston against San Jose. 2 goals from Ferreira, Darwin Quintero, and Hadebe with the goals as well. Jeremy Ebobisi and Thompson with the goals for San Jose. Very exciting game. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch it in this one. But a good win for Houston at home over a struggling San Jose side. But San Jose did have the possession in this one, 68% to 32. Total shots, 18 to 12. But Houston did have one more shot on goal than San Jose did. Total passes, of course, because that possession number was so high, it was all San Jose. But Houston getting them into the back of the net, and that matters. That matters a lot, especially with the shots on goal, 7-6 over San Jose, when San Jose had 6 more shots, total shots, against them. So very good result for Houston there in that one. Next up, Kansas City and Nashville SC. Nashville finds a way to get the victory on the road. Some beautiful odds in this one. Man, that was a nice pickup on that one. Nashville, and speaking of picks and predictions, guys, make sure you're watching Picks and Predictions tomorrow when that comes out tomorrow afternoon. But man, a great week last week for Picks and Predictions. Ended up hitting a parlay. Thanks, Adon Guillen. Appreciate that, man. And I was glad I got in after the Revs there. But overall, a great week picks and predictions-wise. 58% on the on them. That's a good number. Can't beat it. So, Nashville, two goals, Romney and Sapong. Kansas City, Walter with the goal for SKC. It's panic time in SKC, y'all. It's getting close to panic time. I know Nashville's a good team, but this is a team at home. Kansas City, if they want any chance of sniffing the playoffs this year, they're going to have to win every single game at home because they do not get results on the road. This team has horrible, horrible road form, so they better figure their life out at home if they want to get in contention here for anything outside of the U.S. Open Cup, which, again, that's still a good trophy, but hey, in the MLS season, you gotta win your home games, and or you have to have good road form on top of a decent home record. Kansas City's road form is horrible, and now they're losing at home to a good team in Nashville SC. Next up, Vancouver and Portland. This is a game that I did watch because my parlay was riding on this one. This was actually a very exciting game. Portland did pretty much dominate this one. But Vancouver was like on and off. They'd get hot and they'd play real well for a little period of time and then they would stop. And Portland would come back and hit them hard. And then all of a sudden it would be back on Vancouver. They were playing really well. They were really pressuring. You thought they'd get the goal and they just couldn't. The goals from Dahomey and Gauld from the spot right in stoppage time. Goals from Darren Aspria, Nizgoda, and Jimmy Chara in the 78th minute gives the three goals for Portland. A good win. Rory, you called it, brother. You said, hey, Portland, when they, this is like a perfect recipe for success for Portland Timbers. They've been struggling a little bit. They're playing on the road. There's no expectations against a rival team that they should be able to beat, and they did so. So a good victory there for the Portland Timbers. I know Rocky and Rory are happy, no doubt about it. All right. Moving right along, two games on Sunday. Now, before we get into the two games on Sunday, I want to touch on the situation with Ryan Anderson. Okay, so this is something that I had no idea what was going on because I was traveling in that nightmarish travel day that I had. I'm going to put a couple things out here. Number one, I absolutely hate cancel culture. I hate it. It drives me nuts. Number two, what I saw in those screenshots was absolutely disgusting and vile. I do not condone that type of behavior. I can't even believe that was something that he said. Out of the amount of times that I have interacted with Ryan, whether it be on the show when we were not recording, via DMs on Twitter, or talking in a StreamYard setup, I never saw any side of that from Ryan. But however, it's clear as day that was there, and I do not condone that type of behavior. I get the locker room talk. I'm fine with a little bit of locker room talk. As guys, we all do it. But that crossed the line. And I can't be associated with somebody that crosses the line like that, that truly thinks in that way, enough so to put it down on paper. Well, technically not paper, but electronically, whether it was 2 years ago or not. I can't. Rape is absolutely disgusting and cannot happen, period. Can't be taught. It's just disgusting. Now, look, Ryan, I hope that he can figure out his life with that. I hope he gets some help on that front. From what I knew of Ryan, seemed like a decent guy. Apparently, I was wrong. So I apologize to my viewers for any of that, even though obviously I had no control over any of that. But from moving forward, I did remove Ryan from our friends and favorites section of the YouTube page. We'll see if he can, we'll see in the future with him if he can get the help that he needs. But overall, I do not condone that type of behavior. But I absolutely hate cancel culture, and everybody should make that decision for themselves. If they want to continue to support Ryan, that's up to them. Unfortunately, I won't be moving forward because of those actions. Lapse of judgment, it happens, I get it. But that type of stuff is, as a father of three girls and a husband, I do not see eye to eye with that type of talk, and we'll not associate with people that do speak that way. So, with that being said, let's move into our Sunday games. Glad that's done with. Next up, Charlotte, Atlanta. At Charlotte Stadium, Atlanta going on the road, and Charlotte gets the victory 1-0 over Atlanta United. Atlanta United, my God, this team, the talent that is there for Atlanta United, and they can't even beat the expansion team Charlotte on the road. This team struggles on the road, guys. Atlanta really struggles on the road. Alcevar with the goal for Charlotte, and they get the victory. That's a huge victory for an expansion side going up against their possible rival, soon-to-be rival, I'm expecting. I think MLS will take this and run with it. But Charlotte, a great victory for them. Great victory. Kalina looks spectacular in goal. And Charlotte, well done. Well done. I did not see this one. I was in the air coming back and haven't even looked at the highlights yet. But I'm annoyed because I did have that. I did have Atlanta closing out a parlay for me, and of course that missed. But overall, Atlanta, they've got to figure out their road form. Charlotte, I'm just gonna say they're overperforming. This is a team when they came into the league, everybody kind of had them as a huge, huge dog to do absolutely anything. Do I expect this team to make the playoffs? Probably not. But They're doing much better than a lot of people expected. Let's put it that way. So Charlotte, good victory for them over the rival. Savor it, enjoy it, and keep it rolling. Last game of the week, Austin FC against Minnesota United. 1-0 victory for Austin FC. Maxi Urruti with the goal. Minnesota just can't seem to get it done on the road here. They've had a couple good road results as of late, so I expected they might be up to something there, but I expected this one actually to be more high scoring. Austin gets the goal from Maxi Urruti and picks up the points. Austin FC is a very good team at home. Very, very good team at home. On the road, not so much. They've got some work to do there, but doing what they're supposed to do. Getting that 3 points at home against Minnesota United. Good victory for them. And hopefully it turns into some, you know, some playoffs there for Austin FC. Somehow, some way. All right, let's take a look at the standings. Overall in the Eastern Conference, as I mentioned, Philadelphia, 16 points, top of the table, undefeated. 6 games played, 5 wins, 1 loss. Great start for Philadelphia Union. Orlando, New York Red Bulls, Atlanta right behind them. Charlotte in the 5th spot on 9 points. Chicago now drops to the 6th spot on 9 points. Columbus with 8, Toronto with 8, Montreal with 7, and then, of course, some more down here. Surprisingly, New York City down at 4 points in MLS play. In the Western Conference, LAFC still in the lead, 13 points in the table. LA Galaxy with that win over LAFC gets closer at 12 points. RSL with 12 points, 3rd in the West, not 2nd. I had said 2nd earlier, but by goal differential, they're in 3rd. Austin, Dallas, Houston, and Nashville round out the playoff positions. Portland, Colorado, Minnesota, Seattle. Some interesting, there's going to be some movement here with this table, guys. But as we stand right now, those are your standings here. CCL, we've got our 2nd legs coming up in the midweek. And as a reminder, guys, we'll be live for New York City and Seattle on Wednesday night. Cannot wait for that matchup. It's going to be a lot of fun. Then for next week, we'll have Toronto FC against Philadelphia Union live Saturday afternoon. Early evening, going to be a lot of fun in that one as well. Top of the table in MLS going up against TFC should be a lot of fun. All right, guys, there you have it. Make sure you watch our picks and predictions show tomorrow. That'll be launching tomorrow afternoon, hopefully, as long as I can get it done. I do have my all-town meeting tomorrow, so it might get pushed back to Wednesday if all goes crazy, but we'll see. Outside of that, guys, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you guys real soon, and big shout-out again to our sponsors of this segment, Skira, Icelandic water. Get it at your local 7-Eleven, any 7-Eleven in the U.S., man. You can find it. Go get some. It's the best water out there. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you later. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button as well. And have a great rest of your Monday. Peace.